Friday the 5th of September, Hey Elul, Rabbi Avigdor Vonner Cohen, Perspectives on Parshas Shoftim.
Good morning, gentlemen. For those who don't know me, I'm Avigdor, Moshe's brother, Moshe Vonner Cohen's brother. And it's an honor to be part of Start Your Day the Torah Way. Before we get to something short and specific on Parshat Shoftim, so I'll just give a brief overview of Sefer Devarim. I'll try and be as brief as possible. The Ksav HaKabbalah brings in the name of the Vilna Gaon something very interesting. Sefer Devarim begins with the following psukim: Eile ha-Devarim asher diber Moshe el Kol Yisrael. These are the words Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Kol Yisrael. As two psukim later, Vayhi ba-Devarim shono diber Moshe el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Bnei Yisrael. And again in Pasuk Hey, Be'ever Hayazen Ho'il Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu began teaching the Torah to the Israel. So the Mepharshim stand on this triple Diber Moshe. Why does Sefer Devarim have to introduce Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to Klal Yisrael three times? Once is sufficient. The Gaon says an amazing thing. He says like this: Sefer Devarim is a repetition of the Torah. And the Torah is mainly made up of Sefer Shemois, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Sefer Bereishis is only the root. That's the Akdama of the Torah. Sefer Devarim is the summary of the Torah, the revision of the Torah. The heart of the Torah is Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Shmos, he says, is the preparation of Klal Yisrael to get the Torah. Preparation of the Shekhinah to come and rest in Klal Yisrael. The Musa that prepares a person to be Makabel Torah. Vayikra is the Torah itself. Most of the mitzvahs are in Sefer Vayikra. It's the Torah's Kohanim. It's the Sefer of the mitzvahs. And Sefer Bamidbar is Klal Yisrael in action. What does the Torah show us? If you keep the Torah, you get blessing. If you don't keep the Torah, you get punishment. Which is the bepoil of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, how they fed keeping the Torah and the mitzvah. So Sefer Devarim corresponds to each one of these three signs. The first part of Devarim, Parshat Devarim, and Parshat Vayetchanan until Aseret HaDibros, which begin with Vayikra Moshe Bnei Yisrael, corresponds to Sefer Shemot. Because it's full of Musa, preparing Klal Yisrael for the revision of the Torah and the mitzvah itself. From the middle of Parshat Vayetchanan, Aseret HaDibros, till the end of Parshat Kisetzeh, beginning of Parshat Kisovo, we have most of the mitzvahs of Sefer Devarim. That corresponds to Sefer Vayikra, which are the mitzvahs of the Torah. And then you have in Parshat Kisovo, more or less beginning at the Teichocha, we have Vayidaber Moshe Vakohenim Valevim. There begins the Teichocha, which corresponds to Sefer Bamidbar. Presumably, because Teichocha means if you keep the Torah, things will go well, you'll succeed in this world. If you don't keep the Torah, you'll get the punishment. Which corresponds to Sefer Bamidbar, where Klal Yisrael saw the action of the Torah, how the Torah runs the world. And the Vilna Gaon adds, that is why the first part of the volume begins with Eile HaDevarim, corresponding to Eile Shemois Benin Yisrael. The second part in the Aseret HaDibros of Vayetchanan begins with Vayikra Moshe, corresponding to Sefer Vayikra. And the third part begins with Vayidaber, corresponding to Sefer Bamidbar, Vayidaber Moshe. That's how Sefer Bamidbar begins. So that's why we have three introductions at the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Eile HaDevarim, that's the Divrei Musa that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. That's the introduction to the first part of Sefer Devarim. Pasuk Gimel, Dibei Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Kochol Asher Tzivu Hashem Oisalim. Those are the mitzvahs of the Torah that are from Vayetchanan Va'elech, corresponding to Vayikra. And the third introduction in Pasuk Hey, Ho'il Moshe Be'eret HaTorah Hazok. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah, corresponds to the third chelek, presumably because the explanation is how you see Torah coming to action and running a life in the world. That is Ad Kan, the words of the Vilna Gaon brought down in Ksav HaKabbalah. Looking through Sefer Devarim, I found a certain pattern in the parashah. I'll mention it to you because I think it could correspond with the way that Vilna Gaon gives his overview of Sefer Devarim. And it's something you can take home and work on to see if it really fits. Sefer Parashat Devarim, one of the major things in Parashat Devarim is the Ches HaMoravim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, look, we were about to go to Eretz Yisrael. You came and you wanted the Moravlim, and we lost everything because of that. We spent 38 years circling the Midbar until we could go further. You were afraid to fight the Lamed Aleph Malachim. Most of Sefer Parshas Devarim speaks about the Chet HaMoravlim. If you know, the Chet HaMeraglim is what kept us out of Eretz Yisrael. We lost Eretz Yisrael with Chet HaMeraglim. Again, in Tisha B'Av, the Churban Rishon, the Churban Sheni came again the same day as the Meraglim, and we lost Eretz Yisrael. Golos came, the Ikka, because of Chet HaMeraglim. We continue in Parshas of Aschanon, and then we see a yearning back to Eretz Yisrael. This is always the Varim is Eretz Tisha B'Av, when we went to Golos, and Aschanon is always Motzei Tisha B'Av Shabbos Nachum. Aschanon is when you yearn for Eretz Yisrael. He says that he prayed 515 tefillos, communion for Aschanon, in order to get to Eretz Yisrael, and he couldn't get there. So he awakens in us the yearning to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And if you look through Parshas of Aschanon, he starts giving us mitzvahs leman yoshavto v'yirishtem es ha'aretz, preparing us for Eretz Yisrael, and speaking mainly about Avodah Zarah, which doesn't work well with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place of Avodah Hashem, and cannot tolerate Avodah Zarah. Parshas Ekev, l'ani yisdati, is the Parshas of Eretz Yisrael. In Parshas Ekev, we have all the beautiful psukim about Shevach Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Horim uvokoyis, Eretz chito so'iro gefen v'gim, Eretz ha'shelevi miskeinu stichal v'olechem, v'ochalto v'sevotu v'rachto. A lot of the psukim speaking about the Kedusha and the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael coming Parshas Ekev. At the end of Parshas Ekev, we also have the psukim of Eretz asher eina Hashem ulokecho bo, mereish yisashon avad achit Hashem. That's the land that Rosh Baruch is connected to. That's the land that he looks at. And if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have a direct connection with Rosh Baruch. That is Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ruei speaks a lot about Yerushalayim. Parshas Ruei begins with, don't bring kabbalas wherever you want. You must bring your kabbalas in Yerushalayim. You must eat your matisheni in Yerushalayim. And the Ramban adds that the Bechoyer and the Moyadim at the end of Parshas Ruei come there because it's Yerushalayim. That's the connection with the Moyadim in Parshas Ruei, because for the Moyadim were Oilel Regel in Yerushalayim. And Bechoyer, called a Bechoyer Shilvoled, is brought to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim seems to be a major theme in Parshas Ruei. Now in our Parsha, place it on the map, if this is correct, Shoftim is a Beis HaMikdash. Because Shoftim speaks about the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was Dafka placed next to the Mizbeach, which is why at the beginning of the parasha, after Shoftim the Shoftim, we immediately have Leisito Locha Asher Kolei Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Alekecho. The Sanhedrin had to be placed in the Beis HaMikdash campus, next to the Mizbeach. And then we have Kamuvan Zokin Mamre, who disagrees with the Sanhedrin. We have Melech, Malchev Yisovit, could sit in the Azor. And we have Milchus Shoftim, Milchus Kranim, Valavim, a lot about the Beit HaMikdash itself, HaMokoyim Asher, Yivcha Hashem, Kinishom Teit Yisrael. I forget Parshas Kiseitze, it's more difficult, but I think that Kiseitze corresponds to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because Kiseitze is full about marriage, from beginning to end. Kiseitze is Yifat Toyar, Kiseitze is Kisiyel Shnei Noshim, Kiseitze is Moiti Shemra, all the Arroyos, all the Psule Kohol on Parshas Kiseitze, who you can marry, who you can't marry. Gittin, Yibum, Ki Yikachet Yisho Chadosho, all halachos to do with marriage and relationships of man and woman come in Parshas Kiseitze. Which means that Parshas Kiseitze is a relationship of a man and a woman, which is the ultimate relationship that we enjoy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where you have the Kruvim. The Kruvim symbolizes the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a man and a woman. The Kiseitze, even though it's not openly speaking about Kodesh HaKadoshim, could correspond to that. Kiseitze is the center of Sefer Devarim. After that, we've gone the highest we can. We've come to Kodesh HaKadoshim. After that, we have Kisovoy, which is the brief on the Torah. I've come to explain to you the highest pinnacle you can reach in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah and the Mitzvah. Now comes Parshas Kisovoy, which is the Torichocho. If you keep the Torah, all will be well. If you don't keep the Torah, and so Mitzvahim Ba'elecha also Torichocho. And then the Torah seals off the bond we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by guarding it with Kisovoy, Yisovim Ba'elech, and the rest of the Pashas. If I'm right, this does correspond to the Gaon. Because as the Gaon says, the mitzvah of the Torah begin in Vos Chanon. Before that, it's the mitzvah. Before you come to Eretz Yisrael, it's not the main Torah. I know you live in England, you should all be there to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says in a number of places, the main Torah and mitzvahs that we have were given for Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, in one of the last parashas, that all the mitzvahs that we keep over here are vada the mitzvahs and the mitzvahs derasa, and again it's the relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in comparison to the mitzvahs, we do know to solve the only forms of exercises that when we get there to solve, we do the real mitzvahs. The mitzvahs and chutzos compared to the mitzvahs in Eretz HaKadosh are only exercises to enable us to do the mitzvahs if we get there to solve. So Devarim and the beginning of Eretz Chanon corresponds to Golos, That's the preparation to get to the Sefer. From beginning Bois Chan and Shabbos Nachmu, we start the yearning to Eretz Yisrael, and then we get to Akev, we get to Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Misamidosh, Kedosh Kadoshim. That's what we have the Torah itself. The Torah and Mitzvahs are given over in those parashas. And then we have, from Parshas Kisovoy, the final part corresponding to Bamidbar, which seals off and guards us, God's Torah. Be more specific in Parshas Shoftim. I heard this week, the beautiful Al-Sheikh, beginning of Parshas Shoftim, the Torah commands us on Mishpat Tzedek. V'shoftu esom Mishpat Tzedek. The Torah again says, lo yistat el Mishpat, do not bend the Mishpat, lo yistat kiponim, don't take shochat. And then the Torah says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdus. Again, a triple repetition of demanding justice. He says, Hashem, Al-Sheikh, this is really Rashi, Poshut Rashi, if you read Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha. These three commandments of judging fairly relate to three different bodies of people. The first are those who are mamana the judges, who appoint the judges. The Rosh HaKehila, the president, the wealthy people, the people who have a class in the community and have a strong hand and have the ability to appoint the shoftim. They have to be warned, as Rashi says, shoftim the shoftim titen lecha, appoint them in a way that they will be shocked towards the Om Mishpat Tzedek. Make sure they're not chosen because they're your kids, because they're your relatives, because they're wealthy. They have to be chosen because they are fit to be judges. The second pasuk relates to the judges themselves. The judges themselves, lo yisatem mishpot, judge fairly, don't take shochad, don't take bribery. The third pasuk, tzedek, tzedek, tirdos, says Rashi, that relates to the Bnei Yisrael themselves. The Nidoni people who come to Beis Din, go after the best thing that you can. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdos, says Rashi, haloich achar Beis Din yofet. You must always look for the finest best thing, the one that where the Dayanim can relate best to your type of question. Don't try and look for a best thing that you know may not fully understand the point you're making and judge them favorably in your time. So the third commanding the whole of time for those who appoint the judges themselves and the people themselves, everyone together, has to get together to look for Mishpat. Later on in the parasha, we have Edim Zeinim. So you all know what Edim Zeinim are. Two Edim come to Beis Din and say that Reuven was Mechal Shabbos on Parshas Shoftim. Come another two Edim and said, how could you have been there to see that he was Mechal Shabbos when you were in a tiny different city on that Shabbos, and there's no way that you could have gotten to that city? And if you maybe Mechal Shabbos yourself, but there's no way that you could get to see him being Mechal Shabbos in that city, maybe in New York, when you were in Eretz Yisrael, and that Shabbos, and we saw you there. Says the Torah, the second pair of Edim, their testimony is accepted above the first. And though the first one say, nonsense what you're saying, and we as two Edim say that you weren't there, and you didn't see us, and we weren't there, nevertheless, the Torah is Mechadish HaChidush, the second pair of Edim, their testimony is accepted, and the first pair of Edim, who tried to kill the person with Mechal Shabbos, instead they are killed, that's the halacha of the Torah. Comes along the Torah teaches that this is only true if the first Edim hadn't yet managed to kill the person of the Mechal Shabbos. But if the second pair of Edim came too late, and by then the person had been killed by Beis Din, says the Gemara, Hogu Edim Herogim. Kasher Zomam Lassis Le'ochiv. He is only punished as he wished to do to his brother. He had planned and contrived to do evil to his brother. The Gemara understands that if he actually succeeded in doing it, he is not punished. And from here we learn from Rashi on the Chumash, Hogu Ein Yerogim. If they succeeded in killing the person that they testified against, Ein Yerogim, they are not killed anymore. And all the Mepharshim want to know why. It doesn't seem to be just, doesn't seem to be fair, doesn't seem to make sense. If when they only contrived to and tried to kill him, they are killed. So much more so if they've succeeded in killing him. And the second Edim say exactly the same thing. And so it seems that the first pair of Edim are lying according to the Torah. Why then shouldn't they be killed? I saw in the Sefer, Kamoitse Shalal Roth brings a few pirushim over there. The first pirush that I can relate to is the Ramban. The famous Ramban says like this. Says, why should we accept the testimony of the second pair of Edim? Why should we? It's two Edim against two Edim. Maybe the first one who disagree with the second one, maybe they're right. Two against two, why should we believe the second set to the point where we kill the first set? Says the Ramban, it is the chidush of the Torah. And the Gezeirat HaKosuv here is built on the Svar of Hashkofa. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach in Botidin of Kal Yisrael, the special Elokim Mitzvah Badaf Kei, when he's standing, investing, we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is HaTocho given to Kal Yisrael. When the Shoytim of Papa Shoytim, you come into Bestin, V'omdu Shina Anoshim Asher Mohem Ariv Lifnei Hashem, you're standing before Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging together with the judges. So if they ate him cake before he was killed, so obviously this is a proof that he's a tzaddik. Ki loy atzik rosha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not make the rosha be a tzaddik. I'll make sure that he'll be killed. If he was saved in the nick of time, obviously he was not Mechal HaShabbat. And the second pair of Edim are presumably saying the truth. This is a svara that this is built on, Rama Hashgacha. If, however, the second pair of Edim came too late and he'd been killed already, so the opposite is true. Had he been a tzaddik, had it been true that he wasn't Mechal HaShabbat, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring them just a few minutes earlier? To save him, why should a tzaddik be killed? Furthermore, how could it be that the Shoftim have murder through their hands? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing with the Shoftim and judging with them. How is it possible they murdered an innocent person? Therefore, if he's already been killed, so we say the opposite. We say it's more likely that the first Edim are correct, not the second one. Since the whole parish of Edim Zemim is a chidush, that we accept the second pair of Edim, says the Ramban that is only so before they've managed to kill him. After they've managed to kill him, everything is reversed. That is why we don't kill them. The only problem I have with that, and Dalimo pointed it out to me, I think it's a serious problem. According to the Ramban, the halacha is that Edim Zomim are also possible. Not only are they punished, they're also possible. They cannot be accepted as Edim. They're not kosher for Kupa for Kiddushin. They're possible Zidim. They've been found lying in Bestin because the second pair of Edim said they were lying. And the Torah accepts the testimony of the second pair of Edim. And they're considered liars. They're possible for anything that you need to be a kosher Jew for. Now in this instance, when the victim was killed, and only later came the second pair of Edim, it would seem to be that they still considered lies. The testimony of the second pair of Edim is accepted in order to make them possible, even though it cannot help to kill them, because we said Hargu in the Haragim, that they should still be possible Edim and possible Jews and can't be used for any testimony anyway. According to the Ramban, it's the Gezeirat HaKosuv that they're possible Edim. It's the Gezeirat HaKosuv. And if here the circumstances seem to indicate otherwise, it should be a sophic that they're postulated. Why should we puzzle them? They're the chesed fashion. It should be no more than a sophic. Why should they be puzzled? So this is, I tried to look up this halacha. From the Rambam it seems that the second Edim is accepted to the point that they're puzzled, just not to the point where they're punished. Unless we say that after the victim has been killed, that they don't take the second Edim Chavit and bring them in. What for? Maybe it's a halacha that once the person has been punished, and Hogu in Herogim, we don't bring the second Edim into Bestin, so the shalit doesn't begin. And as I say, we do bring them to make them possible, but that's a point, halachic point to think about according to this Ramban. This is what the Ramban says to explain. Another answer is given over by the Tumim. The Urim, the Tumim, Benit and Ibishis in the Sefer says the following. He says that if the victim stands up and says, I know that the second pair of Edim was saying I wasn't Mechal HaShabbos because you were in Arizona, not in New York, and you're about to be killed. Best thing you should know, I was Mechal HaShabbos. And these Edim did see me be Mechal HaShabbos, and the second Edim are trying to save me. And they're lying. What are you doing in such a case? The victim himself stands up and says, the first pair of Edim are saying the truth. Now we would say, look, the Gezeirat HaKosuv. We don't listen to the victim. He doesn't have the power of testimony, is he? The Gezeirat HaKosuv, we accept the second pair of Edim, their testimony, and we kill the first pair. Says the Tumim, and I didn't see it inside, I don't know the longest and the pupil which he uses to prove this point. He says it's not true. If the victim stands up and says the first pair of Edim are correct, we accept the first pair of Edim. I don't know if we kill him, but we certainly don't kill them. We are now unsure as to who is saying the truth. We do not kill the first pair of Edim because the victim has said them. Now if the victim is being killed already, he doesn't have the opportunity to stand up and say them. Maybe had he still been alive, when you would see that Sadiqim real Edim are going to be killed because they're his enemies, he would have stood up and saved them. He didn't say anything because there's no need to say anything. Why should he make himself look more voracious? But had he seen them about to be killed, maybe he would have stood up and said, they're saying the truth. And then he would have saved them. And since we have that topic, that maybe he would have joined in to say that the first person saying the truth, we can never kill them when he's no longer around. That's what the Tumim says. also explain the Rambam, because Rambam says very true of death, if it's Malkus or money, then the din is not true, because he's still around to say what he wants to say, but explain the Rambam. That's what the Balasum has to say to explain his halakha in the first. Final reason I'd like to bring is from the Meiri, one of the Rishonim, who says what seems to be a Balabatish as far, that it's that's something the Torah uses. He says it's Zilusa de Bedina. The Torah is not willing to accept that Beis Din should be looked at as fool. Imagine Beis Din has killed someone, and now they see it's all a mistake. The second Peravadim come and say, they were lying. And now we take the first Peravadim, we kill him. It's open to, for all to see that Beis Din made one mistake they certainly made. Either the victim was a tzaddik or the Eidim a tzaddikim. But they've killed an innocent person. They've shed blood. What kind of Beis Din is that? Can we listen to that kind of Beis Din? What kind of power, what kind of authority can they have from now on when it's open to, clear to everyone that they've shed innocent blood? So now what they did to me last week, I'm going to start arguing about that. I'm not going to go back to them. It will weaken the prayer of Beis Din. It will put Beis Din in a very bad light. So the Torah says, listen, if these Eidim or Roshoim, I'll take care of them. Harabei shluchim lamokin. HaKadosh Baruch has many shluchim to take care of what he wants to do in this world. I'm not going to have to let Beis Din do it and look like a fool. It's important to keep the honor of Beis Din. And if once a mistake, so to speak, has been done, we leave it at that. That's what the Meiri suggests. This week when I was in the show to hear Motul Orbach. Motul Orbach Shlita is the Rav in Tel Aviv. He built up a Kehillah in Tel Aviv. He's the son of Shlomo Zalman, the friend of Rav. And the group of us there dressed up. And I mentioned something that he said. He quoted the famous Gemara that the Sotan gets frantic when he hears the Kehillah Shofar. When he hears it again, he gets more frantic. The Kehillah Shofar is something that unnerves the Sultan. He gets all confused. He doesn't know what to do. And that's what saves us on the Day of Judgment, as the Zohar stands up in Kisei Shildin and sits down in Kisei Shirachmi. Then asks the question, what's the Sultan getting so nervous about? The Gemara says that he thinks that the big shofar, when we talk of a shofar God, the shofar Shal Mashiach is blowing, and that's my end, because then Hashem is going to shech the Sultan. And he gets all nervous. So the question I ask is, what Shaykh is this? Our Shofar blowing of every Rosh Hashanah exactly have to do with the Shofar Gadol of that day? And he says, doesn't he remember from year to year that it's not like that? Yeah, okay. So he said he thinks that this Shofar Gadol is not just one Shofar that's going to be blown. It's a Shofar that we as Klal Yisrael are building over the years. Klal Yisrael over the years is building a Shofar. And the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Klal Yisrael are going to blow in that shofar, Ubol wo Eidim Meretz Ashur v'Anidochim Meretz Yisrael. We fill that shofar with the Torah Master Torah we do every year, and it culminates with the Tkiyat Shofar of Bimam Yechakosh Baruch Hu Nosh Shon. Every year's Tkiyat Shofar is another brick in building that shofar Gadol of the final day. It's the whole Klal Yisrael together at the end of the day that will blow the shofar to bring us all back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he hears that shofar Nosh Hashanah, he is hearing part of the shofar Gadol. And he knows last year wasn't the time, but maybe this year is the final break. Maybe now is the makabah patish of that shofar. So he gets nervous. And that's what muddled him up when it comes to Yom HaDin. And just to add a bit to what he was saying, why is our every year, why is the shofar, why is it considered shofar God? So I think what can be said is, shofar is the lashon of beauty. Shofar is shufar. In Aramaic, shofar is shufar, beauty. Klal Yisrael over the generations are building the beauty of the Torah for everyone to see. We were given the Torah thousands of years ago. And we've been learning the Torah the whole time. We have been developing the Torah. Shpoko didn't give us Shas, didn't give us Yishonim, didn't give us Mishnayos. We have been learning and developing and building the Torah for us to see and for others to see. And every generation has this Pirush. Every generation of Pirush is something unique in the Torah. The Rishonim not the Achronim, and the Achronim not the Achron Achronim. And every person has this Chelik in the Torah and mitzvot which he built to show the beauty of the way of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in the Torah. And that is called Shofar that we build every year. And that could explain why. Bahoya Bayom, we talk about the Shofar Godel. Ubohu Oizim Me'eret Hashur. Vahanidokim Me'eret Hashur. Why will they come? When we will be able to show, publicize ourselves and to others around the beauty of the Torah, the Kedusha of the Torah, the joy of life of the Torah, the Oinig HaChaim of the Torah, So, those who be confused in Eretz Asher, those who are stuck in the tomb of Eretz Mitzrayim will hear the beauty of the Torah and will come. And Karasol has been building that Torah with all the multitudes of Torah that it's written. And I think that our generation could possibly even be those who blow the shofar. We're also building the shofar. But maybe we've come to Bayemahu is not necessarily one day. Bayemahu, I think in Tanakh, generally means a tekufa, an epoch. It's a whole tekufa. Bayemahu yitokha b'shofar godla. I think it could even be said that in our generation we were zeichot to the generation of Tshuva. Ubo o'odim eretz Asher v'anidochim eretz Tan has begun. We can't be blind to that. More than any other generation, we have the ability, developing the ability, to reach out to people who are entirely estranged from Torah. O'odim eretz Asher v'anidochim eretz Mitzrayim, and show them the beauty of the Torah, the emptiness of life outside, the beauty and the joy and the gishmak of the emes Torah. Her way of life, and be able to show them that, so they come back, so be really holding in the very tekufa of blowing the shofar, continuing to develop it and to build it, and blow the shofar of the shofar gadol, mitzvah should be zeicher to all take a chelik in that, to taste the beauty of the Torah, and to be able to show it to others, and memory may know we should see in Shabbat Kenny.